יודעי תרמה שיצא מדלית תפשין פי בייס רבי יוסי חזן.
Morning. Rosh Hashanah is known as Yom HaZikoren, Day of Remembrance, Memories. And this past year, there's so many memories I would love to delete. I was thinking with Erev Rosh Hashanah, like all the difficult times they had this year. Like personally, the memory at Pashat, which was most painful, it was in Kislev. I was sitting shiva for my mother, and I was coping with, you know, with her passing. It's painful, but you know, reckon she was lived a rich life, a full life. She had gvaldige nachas from Einiglach, and she passed away after Mises Neshika. She didn't suffer. Over in the shiva, suddenly my mechutanim came to Nachmovel, and my mechutanim, there was pasha terrible pain etched on her face. She was pasha, her father had passed away a few months before, and she, you could see, she had no nichumim. She was pasha, couldn't comfort her, and it's like a dagger. It's, couldn't see the pain, watching her eat in pain. And I was told what happened. I had to speak to my mechutanim. And he said his shver passed away. His father was an Adam Godel Ma'idim, a gone, a Balmidis, like golden Midis, one of the three Rabbonim of the Bezin Kranheit. And he got Nebuch this COVID, and he was in a hospital, a very prestigious, like top class Manhattan hospital. But Nebuch, at that period, there was total chaos and pandemonium in the hospitals, and they put him on a trolley. And with a do not resuscitate order, and he passed away Nebuch on a trolley in a corridor in a hospital. And his daughter, my mechatenister, was like, she couldn't, because she was trained in CPR, and she reckoned if she would have been there, she could have revived him, she could have resuscitated. So I asked her, Shaila, but there's no guilt, there's no culpability, there's no responsibility. The family looked after their father like mamash, like a king. And the laws of the hospital was family were not admitted. Is like, what guilt is there? Why the guilt? And then, like a few months later, my mechutin sent me. They put out two svarim over a few months. One was his chiddush Torah in Shas, and the second sefer was like different rabbanim, like a sefer zikorin in his memory. And they had their article biography, and they told her a story. And when I read the story, I understood why she has guilt. Even though, from Riyata, there's no reason. I mean, and I'm just telling you the story because I think it's a gewaldige lesson in Avodah of Aseres Mitshuva, in our preparation for Yom HaKodesh. His mother was a Rebbetzin called Bunya Shvei. And in the war, in the Holocaust, Nebuch, she lost her husband, the Rav. She lost her parents, her siblings, the whole community was wiped out. And she was left with three yesoimim. And the bullets are flying, they're whizzing by, the bombs are bursting everywhere. And she did what people were able to do, is skonos nefoshes, but she got onto a train, and she went deep into the interior of Russia, to a place called Uzbekistan. Like, I was trying to place. And she found that beside Derfel over there, living amongst primitive, crude, uncouth, mamish, like the lowest of low, goyim, like mamish, barbarians, heathens, pagans. And she got up as a job, like, you know, Avodah Mafrecha, working hard to keep body and soul together. But this Bunya, it's my daughter-in-law's actual name, named after an elder Baba. It bothered her that she has three sons, and there's no father, there's no Zayda, there's no one to teach them. The oldest son was Baruch Shalom, he was just after Bar Mitzvah. Next son was Isaac, who was 11, and the third son was Yankel. She's walking in this little village, and she sees a Yid who's dressed like a Russian, but she could see from his mannerisms, Achsidashi. You could just see the way he walks. She went over to him, says, "Where are you from?" He's from Samarkand. Those who know the history of that period, in Samarkand there was a rikuz of Yidden who ran away from Poland, from Russia, from Litza, whatever. And there was a chassidish derfel there. And she knew that there was an underground clandestine yeshiva against the communists. How about had a yeshiva there, like under the ground? and she begged him to take her oldest son. He's 30, he's a bar mitzvah bachur. He should be sitting with other bachurim learning Gemara, right? He's in this forsaken place. And the Yidl, the Chassid Shiid, agreed, he'll take him. He took Bar Shalom with him. A few months later, I don't know what Asek he had in that village, but he comes back, and he's Ashikta Gris from the Zun, 13 years old. Baruch Hashem, he's staggering, he's growing, he's learning well. And she begged him, please take my second son, Isaac. 11 years old. He says, I would love to, right? Kenish, 11 years old, was too young. He didn't have papers. In Russia, you need a visa to go from place to place. If he doesn't have papers and I take him, then I'm responsible, and he's, it's called the fascist for both of us. But the Yiddish mama, she wants her kids to learn to be Yiddish Eden. She took him, when she knew when the guy is going back to Samarkand on the train, she took him to the train station, and she told Isaac, Bishas, you hear the whistle, the tzifa, give a jump, give a spring, you'll sit next to the Chassid Yid. She was following him like from behind, and jump in, sit next to him, and he'll take care of you already. Nevach the Yid had no prayer, he's left with his 11-year-old kid without papers. But he took him, Baruch Hashem, Batzlocha to Samarkand, and he enrolled him in the yeshiva. He comes back a few months later, right? Agrees from Beidekinder. He tells her, he warns, don't have a havaminus, of sending your youngest kid, Yankel, who's only 8. There's no way he could take care of an 8-year-old kid. He's living in Frelich Matzah, people were starving, they were dying like. Aber Vihibachas, she took her little son, Yankel, took him to the train, the same shtick. When you hear the whistle, you jump on the train, you sit next to the Shahid, he'll bring you to yeshiva in Samarkand. But this time he's an 8-year-old boy, very soft, when I knew him, very soft ever. And when he heard the whistle, he started crying. Mama! Right? She says, she starts crying, I promise you that I'll come to Samarkand to see you and I'll take care of you, don't worry, just go. So she picked him up and threw him on the train, and he sat at the Shahid, the doors closed, and off he went to Samarkand. Now the problem was, she's an adult, she needs papers to go past the border or whatever. And you need to bribe people. She didn't have a penny to her name. She didn't have the geld, she doesn't have the papers. Was he a whole year she went and worked to get the papers, to get the visas, to get the communist Yamashman Vizikram. Hated it. Eventually she was successful, and she gets on the train, and she's journeying from this Darfur somewhere to Samarkand. And suddenly, as the train is about to arrive at the destination, she's going to a city which she knows nobody, except this one city she happened to meet in the street, right? The Kenkenish. She's trying to find her 3 sons who are in a clandestine underground yeshiva. It's not like a big shelet, a big sign somewhere. How do you find them? It's a big city. It's like tens, hundreds of thousands of people there. She doesn't know where to turn. She gets off the train. The train arrives. She disembarks. And she's like wandering aimlessly in the terminal, in the station, where to go. And suddenly she hears a geshrei, Mama, Mama. And it's her 8-year-old son, Yankel. And she gives him a hug and a kiss. A whole year she hadn't seen, little boy, 8 years old, hadn't seen his a father. He only has a mama. And finally she came. So she's so happy to see him. Can you imagine? And then she turned to him and says, Yankel, how did you know today I'm arriving? How did you know I come? He said, because Mama, you promised me before I left that you'd come to see me. So every day when yeshiva finishes after Seder, I come to the train station to see if you arrived. At Kandamais. Every day he went to see if his mother came. Very dikamais. This Kamba Hilchus Gevirta, you can learn from this story. Over the passion, the simplest level, think of the Mesiras Nefesh of a lady. Nobody, the whole, everything she knows has been turned upside down. You believe in drei Kinder, right? And she's willing to sacrifice her 3 kids, they should get the chinuch. The moral of the story is, I asked you if she would ask a rov, api aloch, is she mechuyev to part with the 3 kids, 13, 11, and 8? What would the rov ask? Faith, I don't know. Would she have a heter to keep them with her, to help her, to keep her company? Sure, you can find a heter. Right? The vort here is, I think this is relevant to, I'll tell you a story. There was once an Asifas Rabbonim. The Tsarist government had terrible decrees against Yidin, against Rabbonim, against Chadorim, all nice. And there was Chiluk Deis amongst the Rabbonim, what to do. And there were two Gedalim on the right wing, right, who held B'shita, whatever. More Kanoyas thing. One was the Rebbe Rashab of Lubavitch, and the second was Reb Chaim Prisk. They were always together. They were always like B'deachas. In the Haim, if you want to know what Prisk held, ask Lubavitch. You want to know what Lubavitch held, ask Prisk. They were always, those two Gedalim were always in the same Kav. And in fact, I heard once from Rebbe El Rifkin, Rosh Hashiv Tervidas, that when Reb Chaim was avek, the telegram came in Lubavitch, the Rebbe Rashab was in Uthlan, the Friedrich Rebbe got a telegram, he sat on the floor and he cried for a half hour. Mamish like Avelus, like on Chaim Prisk. Anyway. So at the end of this Asifa, Reb Chaim Prisker and the Rebbe Rashab were not able to be poyel. The majority voted against their sheet. Whatever. So the Rebbe Rashab was crying. He was crying. So Reb Chaim Prisker said, Lubavitch Rebbe, vos veintir. We tried with all Mesirus Nefesh, Beramachivoreim, Beshazagideim, to be poyel, and Leistayim Milsa, why are you crying? So the Rebbe Rashab answers a very deep, deep answer. Aber der Indian hat sich nicht aufgetan. It's taka, we tried. In other words, if you're looking mitzad the gavro, to use British terminology, we did the best we could possibly do. Aber der Weile, der Indian hat sich nicht aufgetan. Der Weile, Yiddishkeit is still in the sakon. And the moral of the story is, when it comes to Sarisim Yitshuva, and Yid makes a din v'cheshbon, very often, I think it's a terrible mistake. I mean, it comes from a good place. Yid make a cheshbon, that which I'm culpable, I'm guilty, I'm responsible, I have obligations, I have duties. And then they're in yonim, which you could say, you're pot. You did everything you possibly can. But if your oyus cook in life is not what I have to do, it's not you. Whether you get Gan Eden, you'll have a shtikl of yasun, a shtikl sharabor, whether you'll roast and toast in Gehenim, that is not the cheshbon. Your cheshbon is the abish to the tatal hab nachas. And if it doesn't work, you sabrach. It's not about you. We're too much the in everything in life is always the I. The dogma on COVID, like you're talking about guilt, right? There was a chassidish in Williamsburg, and his mother was sick, and it was the Leil HaSeder. And after he finished the Seder, he went to see his mother, how she's doing. She's all alone. She's in, what do you call it, quarantine, or whatever. And his nephew, his brother's kid, is running to tell him. They meet in the street that the Hatzalah ambulance is coming. They're going to bring him to the hospital. He was a member of Hatzalah. So he hopped a tramp, you know, on the ambulance. They know him. Everyone knows him. He hopped a lift with the ambulance. He went to the hospital. And he, And he found a cop. And he was able to go with his mother. And the nurse was very, very kind. And she let him sit with his mother. But she said, when I finish my watch, her, right, another whole new team of nurses will come. And they're going to kick you out. There's no... He was totally zebrach, and he was scared. They put his mother immediately on a respirator, and she's in a coma. Thinking to himself, the Abishal health in Taka, his mother will get up, and she's a woman, doesn't know she speaks English even, like whatever. It'll be a strange environment. She'll be totally disoriented. So how could I get to be by my mother? So he had a chaver, multimillionaire, who had a contract to give all the drugs and what different yonim in the hospitals and personnel. And, you know, worth millions of dollars, this contract. Could you maybe smuggle me in that I become a nurse? Siddish, he doesn't look like your typical nurse in a hospital. But after Kulahai, he said, listen, if I get caught doing a smuggle, I'll lose my $1 million contract. He found out that there's a total, in New York, lack of nurses. They don't have enough. And an emergency, they're making an online course. You could, you know, Bin Laila, you could become a nurse. He's that member of Atzola. Ken, he knows biology, he knows medicine, he knows all these nyanim. So he took a one-day course online. You know, machine club, I don't know, whatever. And he got his certificate, and he went to be a nurse for his mother, right? And Kachava, when she woke up, Baruch Hashem, he was there, and Shalom al Yisrael, they lived happily ever after, as they say, right? The moral of the story is, sometimes, B'derech HaTeva, you don't know where to go, you don't know where to turn, you don't know how. Or if you really want... And by diras negeya, not your achrayis, your responsibility, your chayvis, if the Indian the uftan, the ufketan veren, right, you'll find a way, mitachas ha'oris l'mailam and atav, you'll find a way. And therefore, I understood why my mechatein is to, after being the enigel of this bunya, if she wasn't able to be poiled, she wasn't there for her father at his moment of need, she felt this guilt. And I think this could help us, just a Pesach, in a bit understanding one of the choshev inyonim in tshuva, is the idea of ahavas ha-toyr, of smasros, of total ibrigem kait in learning toyr. I'll give you a dugma. This Shabbos, Abalein L'Toyva, is a Shabbos tshuva. Parsh Vayelech this year. And we read the last six, mitzvah 613 of the Torah, Va'at kitzvu lechem as a shira azoyis, lam l'yisrael, si b'fiyem, l'mantiyah, v'ein va'at chazal say ela tshuva. So you see, tshuva is connected to the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah. Right? In fact, the Ahavas Yisrael, the Vishnu Serebus, says, the words, shira hazoyis is gimatria ksiva l'chsima toiva, which is also gimatria shuva Yisrael ad. There's some connection between tshuva and Torah, the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah. The Mashgiach says vayichtev Moshe, which is gematria yud, you made tshuva, 10 days of tshuva, again connected to this mitzvah. Vayichtev Moshe as divrei haTorah, as is atumam. Tumam is gematria 480, which is gematria doir haAchron, the mitzvah for this generation, which is also gematria vaAmich kulam tzadikim. There's a connection of Amich Kulam Tzadikim, the Eden all come out with the Gemara Sima Toiva, Bona Chaim, all we need, connected to the mitzvah of Sefer Torah. Tumam, Tumim, the Shleimus and Ayid is connected to Sefer Torah. Bichlal, Bipashtus, one would say, there's a famous Nefesh HaChaim, that ultimately the highest level of tshuva is Ahavas HaTorah. It's Masrus to Torah, Ibrigam and Kaitin Torah. That's why people are medactic to learn more in the Chodesh Elul, Shlichus, especially as Sarah Sima Tshuva. Where there's a concept that says in Sforin, the Chaim Kachzuch in the Sholim Rav Lahavi Zerasecha Vein Lomi Mirshul, we say in Davning every day, Ze Ashiveno Avin Lusarasecha, then Machzireno Beshuva Shlemel Fanecha. Tshuva and Torah are inextricably linked. In fact, there is a medrash in Yalkut Shemayni, medrash says, Omar David Lusne Yakadosh Baruch Hu, teach me the way of life, what we're all searching for at this time of year. You want life, right? Torah is Eitz Chaim, connected to life. And the Yerushalmi in Rosh Hashanah, which says, Kivun shekibaltim ol Torah, Yidin kabel ol Torah, malani aleichem kilo chatosam yimeichem, as if you never seen. So Limud HaTorah is inextricably linked to what? To Limud HaTorah. It's also by the reason, just Derech Agav, parenthetically, before we begin this year, when you give a drosha, I always use the expression, the Gemara Pesachim, Shoyalim V'Dorshim. Shoyalim V'Dorshim. Why Shoyalim V'Dorshim? What's Shoyalim V'Dorshim? Savarov used to always say that before you say the Divrei Torah, Shoyalim, you have to say a tefillah. You should be able to say the things correctly, to reach people's hearts. The deeper vort in Svarim HaKadoshim, Shoyalim V'Dorshim, the emes there is, the famous Rav Nachman and Likutei Moran and Simcha Vei, and various Svarim HaKadoshim, Sadik Kotzis, this many, many times. The ultimate tefillah, which you know there are no mekatregim, you're able to transform your Torah into tefillah. You could daven by learning Torah. The Maharaj of Shalom Belzer, his Eden, the Aleska brings this. When a person is like, you see, all tzaddikim, when they want to be poil Yeshuas, they were poil Yeshuas through Divrei Torah. We discussed this countless times in the past. The end of the day, the biggest way to Ma'ir Rachamim is Torah. Torah is called Rachmono. There's actually, the Stipler brings in a Sefer Birchas Peretz, in the name of Rabbi Chaim Zonnenfeld, who said, the Pasuk says in Tillim, Mishpatecha omdu hayoyim ki akol avodecha, which refers to Rosh Hashanah, right? How do I know? Mishpatecha omdu hayoyim ki akol avodecha, says Rabbi Chaim Zonnenfeld, gimachi Rosh Hashanah. Fine. What's the next Pasuk in Tillim? Kufites? No? O Islamit. Lula yisei ros chashashuai azavadati ba'oni. You want to be poil, gmarzi metoiva als gitz, right? The ikir is lulei seiros chashashuay. If you do it, as Emma says, when Chazal say the Eibishter initially wanted to create the world, the Midas Hadin, Rosh Ein Olam Niskayim, Shitefim Midas Harachmim. What's this Midas Harachmim that enables us to withstand the Oimek, the Din? Torah is called Rachman. Well, through the Koyach of Torah. Okay. Now, let me try to explain this, how this works. Logically, step by step. You know, we have a Yom Tov coming up called Yom Kippur. What's special about Yom Kippur? So the Gemara says in the Tainis, what's Yom Kippur? So the Gemara says, Mishum Tispei Slichum Mechila, day of atonement, of forgiveness. Yom Shenitim by Luchas Achronis. That's also the day where the Eibishter gave Moshe Luchas Achronis. It's Luchur, a simple pshat. If you're a simple child, Hey, if the Eden sinned the Egel Azov, and the Eibishter eventually said, Salach Nikid Vorecha, what was the symbol, what was the sign that the Eibishter was Moichel Kal Yisrael for the Avinu Egel? Luchas Achronis. So the day of Slicha Mechila is inextricably linked to what? To Luchas. Yeah, so far. It's much, much deeper than that. The fact that everything that's Shulchan Aruch, the fact that the symbol of the Slichu Mechila came through the Luchas is the Haraya that Torah, which is symbolized by the Luchas, has a special connection to what? To Mechila Slichu. Torah, like nothing else in the world, Torah provides Mechila Slichu. Why is that? So you've discussed many times here, the Gemara in Shavuos, Daf Yud Gimel of an Aleph, Machlokes Rebbe and Rabbanon. Rabbanon say, on Yom Kippur, Yom Kippurim, Ein Mechaper El Lashon. It only atones for who? What? People to chew. Rebbe says, Itzume Shel Yom Mechaper Ben Lashon V'Shein Lashon. Whether or not, regardless whether you did tshuva or not, Yom Kippur is Mechaper. How do we paskin like Rebbe or the Chachamim? No? You say like the Chachamim. Look at the Rambam is menasich in the tshuva. Itzume Shel Yom Kippurim Mechaper Lashon. Still walking between the raindrops here. Right? Yes, Yom Kippur is Mechaper, Dafka Lashavim. But what is Mechaper? Not your tshuva. Itzume Shel Yom is Mechaper. The tshuva is a tnai. There shouldn't be an ikuv. You do tshuva, you'll get kapara. Where is the kapara coming from? Not from your tshuva like a whole year. Is Itzume Shel Yom is Mechaper? Hello, with me? Anyone? Yeah. What's pshat in it? This is a very long sugya. I'll say a vort. My mashpia, Rabbi Yoel, just passed away. He used to always say, we know there's a famous Yushalmi, Chazal, Sholu l'chokhma. They ask chokhma, what should be the punishment of a choytim? Chatoim tidifro. Off with your head. They ask nevuah, what should happen? Vanefesh chaitas itomus. Sholu l'toira, with a toira answer, yovi osham, yiskapru. Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Eibishter said, Yas the Tshuva Yizkapeli. Is the Chalaya, Mitzat Chochma, Mitzat Nevuah, even Mitzat Torah, you're in a bad way. Tshuva doesn't completely help. Only the Eibishter, the Chvayidi of Atzmai, was able to say Tshuva. To with the Chochma of the Eibishter, the Nevuah of the Eibishter, Torah of the Eibishter. What's Pshat? When you're talking about Chochma, you're talking about Nevuah, you're talking about even Torah on this level, you're talking about, and I have to hold copy here, you're talking about a madrega of Elikus, which was mitzamsim, which limited itself, and has a connection to Welt, to the world. Some mitzad Welt, a person, Abish is the Melech, he gave you commandments, you were over mitzvah Melech, it's not good, right? Only mitzad the Abish, the Bechvidi of Atzmoi, is there this etzem hachuvah. How does this work? Okay, in a nutshell, this really needs like 5 hours to discuss. Okay, well, let's try to explain, what is the difference between mitzvahs and Torah? Generally, Beth and Chloe. If I was to ask you, what is the purpose of mitzvahs? So on a simple level, if you're an ignorant person, you're like a basic person, you would say, Chazal say, Leidit Nateira, Leid Mitzvahs, El Tzarev Hem Esabriz. Every time you do a mitzvah, you elevate, you refine yourself, and you elevate, obviously, the cheftza, which you did the mitzvah with, you take an esri, so you're elevating yourself, you're doing a mitzvah, right? And you're elevating the esri, you're elevating the world, whatever, the money that you earn, etc., etc. Kumt ois, mitzvahs only make sense when there is a welt, when there's you and a world, which needs a tikkun, and the Eibush that gave us mitzvahs to masak in the world. Does that make sense? Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You want to look at it deeper? Shtiglapi Kurus is that, on a certain level. Let me explain. The Rambam says in the Yud Gimel Ikrim, the ninth Ikr is a Torah hazoyis litiya muchlefes litiya Torah chadashim itizbar. The Eibushter will never ever change the Torah. And the Ikrim, the philosopher, Chaykir, why is it that the Eibushter can? We're not talking about some rabbi, doctor, some reform rabbi can't change the Torah. That's like beyond the pale. The Eibushter can change the Torah. Why can't, I said this many, many times, why can't the Eibushter change his Torah? Why can't the Eibushter say, hey, you know, in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, the day where they ate mon and the whatever, they had Tzir Zugi Luyim, 613 mitzvahs were sufficed. Hayint, the Hashkul, the Zagolos, the street, so Mezuam, we need 614 mitzvahs. I don't know. Why is that happy course? If you say that, you're not min, you're not because. Why? Well, hello? If the mitzvah is there for a matorah, to achieve something, so it's a medium, it's a heksher, to reach a certain end, to elevate the person, to make him more elich, more whatever, so why can't the Eibushter change his mitzvah? The answer is, in a nutshell, you have within a person, there is the a person has a rotzen, a will. You have what's called the chitzoinis harotzen and the pnimis harotzen. The chitzoinis, I'll give you an example. A person goes to work. And then she says, Rahman al-Islam. You have to go to work. Why does he want to go to work? What? Money. He wants money. Why does he want money? Pay his bills. Why do you want to pay his bills? I shouldn't ask the question here. Yeah? He wants to be able to afford basic necessity of life. Hello? Kumt ois, going to work, earning money, is all a hechsher, a medium, a preparatory step to get the tachlis, which is the pnimius haros. The pnimius haros is levin. It's mushr, shmutvin, in the teva of a person you want to live. So the all the other things is the hechsher, the preparation to live. If you look at mitzvahs as being a hechsher to do to uf to whatever in ruchni is, in ilum is, whatever, something for something, right? Then, as the world changes, you have a good kasha, why can't the Eibushter add or subtract mitzvahs? But who, the Ikram asks, you see, before by Adam Rishon couldn't have basar, and then Noach was allowed to eat meat. Is that right? Things could change. That's in mitzvahs prior to Matan Torah. Prior mitzvahs ben Noach are mitzvahs to achieve a goal. Lashevis Yitzor, or whatever. And therefore, they could change according to the item, according to the times. Mash einkin anoichi by matan Torah is anon nashik sovis yahavis. The Eibushter gave you mitzvahs. Mitzvahs come from the mitzvah hamitzvahs. And if the Eibushter is ania violation nisi, so the mitzvahs of the Eibushter can change. Mitzvahs are miyachas not the chitzoinius harotzen, something superficial, something external, the pnimius harotzen. Hello, so far so good. So you have one madrega, which the Ikrim is talking about on a superficial level, on a chakira level, on a logical, rational level, where mitzvahs have a tachlis. You do the mitzvahs to achieve a tachlis. The pnimi, the emes is that mitzvahs are there not to achieve a tachlis. The Eibushter said, kach v'kach. Right? If you do, kach v'kach. This is what the Eibushter command you got to do. Not to achieve anything. Not in you, not in the world. And look at the Eibushter goes on. But even mitzvahs, right, which is much higher, mitzvahs, tayyak mitzvahs that we have, it's pnimius harotzen, but it's misyaches to a world as the person, and the world is a mitzvahs. There's an Eibushter who's the Eibushter, and he commanded me, so I'm a vatel, my rotzen, to do the rotzen abayim. But the fact that the Eibushter commanded you means that the world has a nesinus makom. The world has a place, there's a welt. The Eibishter wants to whatever, and therefore the Eibishter gave you mitzvahs. So by me being mevatel my rotzen to the rotzen abeira, right? I'm mekayim. I'm giving the Eibishter nachas. Fine, great. But by definition, if there's a command, the command assumes that the commander recognizes the existence of someone who is commanded. Common sense? What is Torah? The emes is Torah not as a mitzvah, not as one of the Tariq mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Torah as it is in its original pristine state, which is Chachmosa Yerusayin Yisborich, which is one with the Eibishter, the purpose of Torah is not because if there will be such a kach v'kach, a metzias in the world, therefore this is what you got to do. This is the rots, this is the svara of the Eibishter, and it's miyuchad with the Eibishter. So pshat is, the Eibishter, before there's a world, before there's a, the svara of the Eibishter, shnayim uchsen betalis, yachloiku. Not because there's two guys, there's Reuven and Shimon, each one schlepping a talis, and we don't want to have bloodshed on the streets, therefore we'll paskin yachloiku. The svara of the Eibishter, before there's a Reuven, before there's a Shimon, before there's a talis, before there's a welt, it's yachloiku. Then the world was ishtalshul in a way that this rotzen Hashem, this svara of Hashem, has relevance here. But what is the essence of Torah? Totally above welt. There's no welt. So in other words, to put it just differently, when you're dealing with mitzvahs, you're being mevatel, it's kafya, you're breaking your rots into the rots of Hashem. When you're learning Torah, you, Yid, have the ability to be misyachid, to become one, to become united with the chachma of Hashem. That's which is higher than the world, which is a totally different level. Now let's take a simple example, I'll bring out the point I made first before. The Gemara says, Hillel is Mechayev Aniyim, Rabbi Elazar ben Charsum is Mechayev Ashir. Hillel was in dire poverty, and despite his poverty, he learned Torah. And Rabbi Charsum was mega wealthy, unbelievable, right? He had whole towns that he owned, whatever, and yet he... So if a person says, I was too poor, I was too rich, Al Pi Din, right? Could a person have a heter, I'm poor, I'm oppressed, I gotta work, Huh? When you say l'moshel in halacha, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, there are gedorim, there are times where you could say al pi halacha, right? Oynesach banapater. But that's all when you're looking about your hischayvus, you, right? I'll give you an example. When it says in Pirkei Avos, Kachi darker shel Torah, pas b'melech toichel, etc., etc., is that a chiyuv al pi halacha that you mechuyuv to survive, be sustained on bread and water? Huh? So after that, in Hilchos Talmud Torah and Kudos Achron Gimel, no. But if you have a love of Torah, right, that's what you're going to do. Not because you're mechuyuv. The whole vort of limud haTorah, the hava of Torah, is you're attaching yourself to the Eibishter. Whether or not you're mechuyiv, you're not mechuyiv, it's a different vort. Now, on this higher, and that is the ultimate level of Torah. Everyone knows, I've said many, many times, the famous Hakdom of the Agli Tal from the Abinezer. People think if you have a geschmack in learning, so it's very Torah Shalom Lishma. It's named the Iker, of course you have to learn Torah because the Abishur said so. Or by the Iker Oifen of Lima, that Torah is you have such a geschmack in Torah. Right, the Tainuk in Torah, the Oishu Shebet Torah, is a Chirdas Guf, is the highest level of learning. And therefore, on Torah, you're attaching yourself not to a Gilui of Hashem, like in various levels of mitzvahs. Torah attaches a Yid to the Etzem of the Rabbeinu Shalom, as he's a Fort Simpson, whatever. On that level, there's no Chet, there's no Aveir, there's no Prat, I'm giving you Slichim. There's no Aveiru L'chatchila on that level, when the Etzem of a Yid becomes revealed, which is only revealed the Iker on Yom Kippur, right? Then there's automatic Mechilus L'chatchipor, which is the reason why the whole Indian of, how do we know Yom Kippur became a day of Mechilus L'chatchipor, Yom Yisrael? Because Chazal say, B'yem Chasun Nosei Zumat N'Torah, there's a Yichud of the Chosin and Kala of the Eibishter and Klal Yisrael through the medium of Limud HaTorah, and therefore Limud HaTorah is the best way to evoke Rachmim, to become one with the Eibishter, and therefore there's a Ikar HaGosha these days, Tahorah V'in Torah with a Geshmak. And even if the house is nearby, miles away from it, but at least a person should know that that I enjoy learning, even though it's at the moment it's intellectually, but that gufa comes because the etzem of Torah. Why do we enjoy learning Torah? Because by the Eibishter it says, Va'eyeloi shashuim, the Eibishter has a geshmak and loves Torah. If the Eibishter loves Torah, that's mishtalshul na yid, that yid also has a love Torah and become one with Torah, and that brings a yid slichim b'chil. The word I'm trying to say is, there's too much of a hedgish, people are madgish in their own avodas Hashem, me, where I'm holding, my cheshbon nefesh, how, my gan eden, my gehenna, my what? I'm all, you just got to do what you got to do to give nachas ruach to the Mashefer, right? And seif aschar lov, I'll tell you a story, I'll end off with a story, just, yeah, before Rosh Hashanah, normally everyone calls up your children call you wish, so my daughter, one of my daughters called me, and she started, I was just speaking to my friend, and you were mentioned in the conversation. Wasn't mentioned in the conversation. She has a friend, grew up in Manchester, a few doors down from my house. She married a boy from Australia, and they became shluchim in a place called Launceston, Tasmania. Like Al Shvatzjorn. Like if the world is flat, that's where you fall off. That's where the farthest place in the world. She runs over there. So there's a lady that a day before who passed away, a Jewish lady. And she was totally fried. I'm fried out of their minds. You know, she wanted to be cremated. And her son agreed. That was the mother's wish, cremated. She has three Erlicha daughters, all from, you know, married with families, whatever. And they went out of their mind. They called the rabbi, could you please, like, get involved and try to stop? I don't know what happened at the end of the story. Before Rosh Hashanah, it was like, before they were cocking and just try to get her not to be cremated. Anyway, so she was speaking to a friend. Some of them here, they called each other, whatever, before Yom Tov, to wish each other. And she said, by the way, you know how these people became from, these three girls? So Tati, remember you once went, it was once Erev Yom Kippur, and they asked me to go to a place called Hobart, Tasmania. Hobart, Tasmania is like the big city in Tasmania. Tasmania is a little island off the coast of Australia. And in the 1800s, the British, you guys, anyone did up to sin, they were a criminal, used to send you convicts. They sent them to one of the places was Hobart, Tasmania. 70% of the people in Tasmania have Jewish blood. They're all cones and, you know, they're all goyim, but they have Jewish blood. In the little shul there, they say, I'm the rabbi, right? I'm the rabbi, the chazan, the whatever. So they have, like, still the prayer for Queen Victoria. They have regular pews, then they have little pews without backs. Those are for the convicts. And the chief rabbi at the time, or some whatever, some shmerl, he paskin that they could count the convicts as a minion, right? But they can't give him an aliyah, can't give him a call, whatever. I'm the chazan. I wouldn't do that in my shul. I wouldn't. This is cruel and unusual punishment. It's not fair to Surya Eiv, right? But the less prayer of Mokim She'enish is herring a chafish. So I'm davening for the omer. I'm not Yossel Rosenblatt, right? And I daven for the omer. We finish very early on Yom Kippur. We got a long break. So how are we doing this, Mir? I had questions and answers with the rabbi. So I don't remember this, but my daughter tells me that her friend over there in Tasmania says, there were three girls there, and I told them, I invited them, that in the winter vacation from December 25th to January 1st, in the Koil, there's a Yachikal. And I told them, I convinced them, apparently, to go to the Yachikal. They came to the Yachikal, right? And they were in the Skarif, they saw the beauty of Yiddishkeit, and today they got married, they went to seminary, whatever, got married, have Elche Kinder, and Einiklach already, and I never knew the story until Erev Rosh Hashanah. It reminded me of another story once. I was once, many, many, many years ago, Tovshin Mem. I was in Antwerp for camp, with the camp. And then I went on America, so it was in Germany. And like the second to the last day, I didn't know how to drive in those days. So I had a friend called Yossel Shulkram. A friend, good, he did nefesh. And we were spending the night in Basel, Schweiz, and we had to go to the Black Forest somewhere, into a camp, a Jewish camp, whatever, Jewish kids. And he hadn't slept the whole night. Right? You're sitting with schmoozy with people, whatever. Akitra Masa, we're driving from Basel, we go through to Germany, and he never fell asleep at the wheel. We rented in Antwerp a small Ford Fiesta, only small little cars, compact cars, two people. And he fell asleep at the wheel. Derweile, a bus was speeding the other way. They both went through red light, whatever, and they remember kush. I remember falling to the floor, and I went, Yossel, are you there? Yossel, yeah, we're both parking, we're both alive. Right? The police came. First, they took us to the German police station, which is not a geschmack of feeling. Show you what yekis are. 2 months later, when yeshiva, we get a note, a letter from the German police They overcharged us on the fine, the huge fine. They overcharged us. They sent us back 200 Deutschmarks, overcharged. Anyway, tell us my story. So we're stuck here in the middle of nowhere without a car. We got to get back to Antwerp, or we got to get back to America eventually. We got our hitch where we're going to Basel. We're sitting in the train station. Some Mormons were trying to convert us to become Mormons. Ah, hold on, sorry. Eventually we get on the train. It's one of these geschlep, the continental trains, like overnight, you know, long, long schlep train. Went through every country, every derfle. I remember sleeping through Liechtenstein. Ow! And eventually the train is filling up at every stop, and a guy comes, a backpacker, like a teenager, backpack. He asked, is there any room here? Could he stay? Like, it's cabins in Europe, you know, like, few seats. Yeah, the shrunk, we don't own it. We're sitting and learning, talking, sleeping, whatever, schmoozing. And this guy comes in, this backpacker. Suddenly we look at the window, it's getting light. Okay, time to daven. We put our tefillin, we daven the chakras. Afterwards, the guy turns to me and he says, I'm Jewish. My mother's Jewish, right? But what are those black boxes you're putting on when you're praying? I said, do you ever have a bar mitzvah? Never. Never had a bar mitzvah. Okay, we told him what tefillin are, da da da. And Baruch Hashem, we convinced him to put on tefillin, first time in his life. Two bachram on American shlichus, you always have in your pack, always a little flask of whiskey, right? We had a bit of mezuinus, and we decided to celebrate his impromptu bar mitzvah on the train. Never put on tefillin before, never had a bar mitzvah, right? We said l'chaim with him, we fabrengt with him, we talked to him, and eventually we arrive in our destination, enter, we part very amicably, again, the end of the story. Punk, my friend, Yosef Shulgam, punk, I said, I had 8 years ago, I had a chassan, my shvager was making a chassan, he's a shliach in a place called Weston, Florida. I mean, that used to be the Everglades, a beautiful community. So I went to the chassan, and my friend, Yosef Shulgam, I hadn't seen in 20 years, literally. He was also at the chassan. He was from the Sarachosan. It was his nephew getting married to my niece. I punk met him, I haven't seen him in 20, he did nefesh, I haven't seen him in ages. And he sees me, he gets all terudai, right? He said, you're not going to believe what happened last week. He lives there, Rabbi, the Shliach, in San Paulo, Brazil. Someplace, whatever. Brazil. He said, the week before, punkt, the Rabbi there, the Shliach, in the Chabad, somewhere in the middle, different, totally different area, took ill, and he asked in Yossel, could you do me a favor, could you substitute, I have to give a shir. El. So the punkt before Chael, the birthday of Baal Shem Tov, he decided to speak about Hashgacha Pratz. Baal Shem Tov, Shita, Hashgacha Pratz. So in the middle of his talk, suddenly, like, he decided to tell this story of how he was in Germany, and he fell asleep at the wheel, and they banged the car, and they went back by train. And punk, we met a bachrel, right, who was a backpacker on the train, and we put on tilf, and said, who knows, Dashkoch of the Eibishter, maybe the whole reason we went to Germany in the first place, maybe the reason why he fell asleep and got into a crash, and the old geschäft was only to put on tefillin on this one guy the first and very last time in his life. Dugmach came to mind as you're talking. Suddenly the president of the shul, the Chabad shul in this neighborhood, starts crying and says, Rabbi, you don't remember me. I was that backpacker. Today is the Elch Yid of Frumara, but his first meeting with a Yid, first time he put on tefillin, first time he ever said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Likein Hashem Echad, was on that train from Basel to Antwerp. Right, I would have never, ever, ever known the story. Ashgacha Pratis, the next week, I have a chassana from a niece. He has a chassana from a nephew. We meet, and the thing was fresh in his mind. It happened the week before. He told me the story. The moral of the story is, Ayidav, you have to do. Right? And the Eibishter will be mashalim, all the uf, what you two uf, the Eibishter health and taka, we should work Leman Hashem. And the Eibishter, we should be zoicha eventually to see what we achieve through our good deeds.